And today we're going to be talking about prayer as petition. The main passage is going to be Matthew 6:11. But if you all know me, we're taking a journey through God's Word again. There's a ton of scripture that I'm going to give to you guys. But let me go to the Lord one more time and ask that He would bless the time of the sermon. Father God, I just come to you right now, once again, Lord, as a shepherd leading his flock this time. God, I would ask that this would be your message. It's your word. And I would ask that they would hear the scripture and allow it to work in their life. Help me to step out of the way. And let the Holy Spirit just take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are in our third week of the series of the 40 Days of Prayer. But before I talk about today, I wanted to give you a brief recap on the last couple weeks. If you guys remember, week one was prayer as worship. We worship the Lord in splendor and His holiness. 1 Chronicles 16:29, that is Old Testament scripture there. First Chronicles 16:29 says this. Prayer is worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, because God is holy and we worship Him. And our prayer is as worship, right? That was our first week. Week number two was prayer as kingdom partnership. If you remember, I gave a quote by Dallas Willard that said, "You can't think correctly about life or the church without first thinking correctly about the kingdom." Today, I wanted to share with you what it means to pray as a petition to God. Even though this verse is talking about give us today, or this is Matthew 6:11 that I'm getting ready to talk about, give us today our daily bread, there is more to it than that. That is a petition unto God. Petition is used as a verb. Make or present a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular cause. Make or present a formal request to an authority. God is authority, right? So we make a request to Him as petition with respect to the particular cause. Prayer as petition is the today's sermon. And, you know, we've been going through the passage of Matthew where Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. And I'll go ahead and review that for you guys right now. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, and I'll pick it up in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we're focusing on Matthew 6:11 again. Give us this day our daily bread. That is a petition. That is a petition. The scripture says that our Lord is our Heavenly Father who knows all our needs even before we ask Him. Yes, that is the one reason, one of the reasons Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's Philippians 4:6. Right? 1 John 5:14 says this: This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. As we ponder over prayer as petition, our focus is to meditate on God's faithful nature to hear our petitions. His justful nature to validate our petitions and His sovereignty to fulfill our petitions. What is our role and action as we bring our petitions to Him? And that is what we're going to be focusing on in today's lesson. How many of you have ever thought of prayer as petition? Yeah, a couple of us. Yeah. How many of you ever thought of prayer as worship? Yeah, a couple of us. Right? If you guys remember, I think in the first week I asked, how many of us go exercising? And quite a few of us raised our hands, right? Prayer is discipline as a Christian. Prayer is part of the discipline of a Christian who walks with the Lord. And unfortunately, I believe it's also one of the last things that Christians do. They don't practice prayer. Sometimes I think it's on the back of their mind. Maybe not you guys. I think all of you pray. But there are some people out there who call themselves Christians who do not practice praying. And it takes discipline to pray. It takes practice to pray. Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray in Matthew 6, chapter 6. Because they said, how do we pray? And He said, you can pray like this. Right? But don't be like the Pharisees out there on the corner heaping up prayers to be seen, right? Be seen and not heard. How many of you heard that as a kid, right? Oh, man, I heard that a lot. But if you go back and you look at Daniel, who practiced praying, right? And Nehemiah, who practiced praying, what did we find out about those guys? That their prayers were sincere. And they had petitions. They petitioned God in their situations, right? And God protected Daniel from being eaten by lions. And Nehemiah was able to go before the king and ask him, who was a pagan king who did not believe in God, to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, right? Those were both petitions that we have seen answered, right? And there's many more examples in the Bible about praying as a petition. Because these guys set the bar. They set the example of prayer as discipline as a Christian, as a Christ follower, as a believer in God. And if there's anything that I want you guys to learn today, is that we need to be praying, you know, as worship and as in petition. It's okay to petition God in prayer. But there is a correct way to do it. There's a correct way to do it, and I want to kind of get through that. They say timing is everything, and that is true. Remember when you were a kid, you wanted to ask your parents to get out you something big. I mean really big. You planned, you schemed, you thought it out. You talked to your older sister, your best friend, and the rich kid down the street, and finally concluded that you needed to ask for whatever it was just at the right moment. You also learned that you needed to butter your parents up, at least. That's what you learn from all those old TV shows anyway. So is this what we must do when petitioning God? Do we need to bribe God to get Him to give us the answer we want? Do we need to demand or coax? Today, we are going to dig into how having a thankful heart can help us blend two seemingly different approaches into one unified method of godly petition. The Bible teaches us, in my first point here, the Bible teaches us to petition God boldly when we pray. Point A, in His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus showed Himself to be a loving and sympathetic Savior who genuinely cares about our needs. Go to Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we can go to God, who is infinitely perfect, and we can pray in Jesus' name, who is our high priest. He is the great shepherd, because he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and he passed. He used scripture. He didn't falter. He didn't sin. He lived a whole life perfect and blameless, because he took the whole world of sin on his back. He's the high priest. And we can petition because we know that he is holy and he is just and he loves us. And the writer of Hebrews concludes from Christ's example that we can boldly pray to Jesus and accept him to help us in our time of need. That was Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Time of need. I know that this last winter, some people's pipes froze, right? And we got so cold, their pipes froze. And that was a time of need, because if those pipes would have burst, that would have been an expensive repair bill. And you can go to the Lord and you can ask him, God, this is what is happening. My water pipes froze. I don't have a whole lot of finances. I need these pipes to unthaw and not burst. That's okay. That's praying as petition to God. And that's a time of need. That's okay to pray. And I think he understands, you know, that that's a real need. That's a real need. Isn't it awesome that we can boldly pray in time of need? That we can go to Christ, our high priest, and we can pray as he taught us, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? We can ask. We can ask. I know you guys know this story because I've shared it before, but George Mueller, one of my favorite missionaries, he was an atheist when he started out. He was a botanist and everything else. He believed in biology, and he was an atheist. And he turned to Christ, and then he started an orphanage. And he had a prayer life like you wouldn't believe. He has a book out. Now he's deceased. He lived a long time ago. But you could still order his book of prayer. And he wrote down every little prayer that he ever prayed. And man, that man was a powerful prayer warrior. And one day, he was sitting down, and this is prayer's petition, right? And he wanted to teach the kids to rely on God in every situation. No matter what we're going through in life, we can always rely on God. And this is what he said. They sat down. He had 1,000 kids that he had to feed. There was no bread, no milk. And he said, okay, we're going to thank God for our food anyway. And as soon as they sat down to pray to thank God for the food, there was a knock at the door, and the bread man's cart broke down right in front of the house, and the bread would have went stale, so they had bread for the day. And then right after that, the milkman had extra milk, and he was driving by, and they got milk, right? So they had bread and milk for that day. I mean, George Mueller had to put his faith on God 100%, because sometimes they ran into things like that. Right? How many times in our life do we run into situations where we're running out of bread, right? Or milk, or finances, or whatever? God wants to know that. It's okay to tell God that you're concerned about that. Don't be anxious, because anxiety is a sin. Don't worry, because worrying is a sin. But we can ask as a petition, right? Because we know that God is faithful and just and gracious and merciful. And that's the kind of God we serve. And I say this all the time. because Jesus is our Savior, sanctified, healer, and coming King. That's the Alliance core value. We have full trust in God. When we fully trust in God, we repent of our sin, we can have that same kind of power too through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome, guys? Isn't that awesome that we can pray as petition? I mean, that excites me. That really excites me. And George Mueller is one of my favorite people to read about. A bold prayer of petition seeks to alter God's will. Disregard that one. An example of a bold prayer, Abraham's reasoning over Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, 20 through 33. I'm not going to read all that, but that was a petition of prayer. Here's another example, and I'll just explain it. Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were vile. They were wicked. They were not following Christ at all. There was not one believer in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, wait a minute. If you are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what about believers? And then if you go back and you read Genesis 18, 20 through 33, you'll see that Abraham was petitioning with God. He was asking him, wait, Lord, wait. What if there's 10 believers? There's more numbers than that. But then it gets down to 2 believers, and he said, if there's any believers in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They got destroyed. Abraham was trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah, but God already knew what he was going to do. But I think he allowed Abraham to ask. He allowed him to petition. Does that mean that God gave in to Abraham's will? Because his will was Sodom and Gomorrah would be saved, right? Remember, when you pray and you ask and petition, God's will is sovereign over your will. So even if you ask in Jesus' name for something, we all have those things in our own life that we don't get. You can ask my wife. Here's one that I want to point out big time. The Bible says when we pray, the Bible teaches us to petition God humbly when we pray. God alone is all powerful. He has complete authority over our lives, our judgment, and our salvation. James 4:12. We talked about this in the past in our James series, which, by the way, we'll be wrapping up after the 40 days of prayer. We have one more chapter. James 4:12. Remember, we want to be humble. And it says in 4:12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Remember, God is all powerful. He is the complete authority. He is the ultimate judge over our lives. James teaches us to pray to God in humility, recognizing that his authority and position is much greater than our own. You go up to verse 10 in chapter 4. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Real quick, what does the word humble mean? Anybody, what does the word humble mean? Step down. Pretty good answer. Nehemiah humbled himself by, remember, when Fish brought out the stool and he went to kneel down on the stool. That's humbling yourself, right? That's humbling yourself. And that's what we do. We have to humble ourselves when we petition to God. We have to humble ourselves because he is the ultimate judge. A humble prayer of petition seeks to make known our desires to God while submitting ourselves to his plans no matter what. A humble prayer of petition seeks to make known our desires to God while submitting ourselves to his plans no matter what. An example of a humble prayer. Paul's passionate plea. Go to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Paul was a mighty man of prayer, too. 12. This is, make sure I said that right. Yep, 2 Corinthians 12. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should be, leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was being humbled here. He was asking God to remove the things that were bothering him. And God said, I'm not going to do that because I want you to be reminded of who I am. And when we are weak, he is strong, right? I know we sang songs about that too. But Paul said, okay, Lord, I will humble myself because it's not my will, it's your will. And we know that Paul had boldness like no other. He was able to use the word of God to preach to the Cretans, Ephesians, Galatians, the Romans, right? He was in Athens. He gave a powerful sermon and used, because they had a caption that said to the unknown God. And he used that, and he was able to preach about who the unknown God was, and many got saved that day because he made the unknown God known to them. But God allowed him to continue to have those thorns in the side. He petitioned, but God said no. But Paul's like, okay, well, I'll continue to still do the work of ministry just because I didn't get what I wanted. Sometimes I think we're not humble enough, and when we don't get what we want, we just shut down and we say, okay, well, I'm just going to sit at home and not do anything. I'm not going to share the gospel with anybody. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be mad at God and everything else. And I think that's the wrong attitude. I think we need to make sure that we always remain humble. We always have the right attitude. We have to check the condition of our hearts, right? See, one of the things about biblical counseling that I've learned is when you are trying to change something, you don't want to just change the behavior, right? Modern psychologists and psychiatrists give out medication. Psychiatrists, not psychologists. Psychiatrists give out medication when you have something like anxiety or something like that to try to correct the behavior, but they don't get to the real heart root of the matter, which is the heart. And biblical counseling gets to the heart of the matter, and we want to change our hearts. So when we're petitioning God, we have to make sure our hearts are in the right place. We have to make sure that when we pray, it's because we're praying to the judge of all judges. The judge of all judges. A crucial question. How can we pray boldly and humbly at the same time? How can we pray boldly and humbly at the same time? George Mueller prayed boldly and humbly at the same time about that bread and milk. Right? Jim Elliot prayed boldly and humbly at the same time when he was, you know, he was such a learned man of God, you know, of Scripture. He was such a well-known speaker that he could have come in and he could have been a pastor in America and had a mega church back in the 50s. Not that I'm advocating for mega churches, but he was just that good. But he said, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary and go share the gospel with the lost in Ecuador. And he said, even if it costs me my life, I'm going to be obedient. He prayed boldly and humbly at the same time. The big idea, an attitude of thankfulness as we pray, grounds our boldness with humility. An attitude of thankfulness as we pray grounds our boldness with humility. Prayers of thankfulness flow from one who has come to know God's heart. Why should we be thankful? Because God is our sustainer. Acts 17:28. God sustains us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we indeed are his offspring. Because we are God's offspring, he's our sustainer. Because Jesus has saved us from our past. 1 Timothy 1:13 through 14. 1 Timothy 1:13 and 14. And this is Jesus saved us from our past. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul is talking here. And he was saying, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an opponent of Jesus and the church. But he received his mercy. And then the grace of the Lord overflowed unto him. And faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So God sustains us. God saved us from our past through Jesus. Because of God's timing, we can be humble and boldness, right? 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. Which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of the lords, who alone has immortality, immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. God's timing is perfect. Now, I'm going to give you a little something to think about because I feel like it kind of fits here. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Lord of the Rings? A wizard is never late, right? Because he shows up on time. A wizard is never late. Because I think it was Bilbo or Frodo who was asking him, how come you're late? And he said, a wizard is never late. Well, God is not a wizard. He's God. He's the best, you know, he's the ultimate judge, right? But God's timing is never late. God's timing is never late. I always like that movie line right there because it reminds me of God never being late. He shows up on time all the time. All the time. When we petition God with a thankful heart, we are able to do two things simultaneously. We can submit to God's will even as we ask him for help. We can submit to God's will even when we ask for help. We can ask with boldness because we know God always seeks our greatest good. God has our best intention in mind. God knows what's best for us. He's like the best parent there is. God knows what's best for us. even if we don't know what's best for us. And that's why we humble ourselves and we pray and we say, okay, Lord, I'm petitioning. I'm asking you in Jesus' name for this, but it's your will, not my will. Let your will be done, right? Jesus petitioned to God so hard that he bled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Lord, take this cup from me. Do not let me die. We can have it another way, but not my will, your will be done. He prayed so hard, he sweat blood. But yet we know that he ultimately went to the cross and he died and he gave up his spirit to save us from our sins. There's a rooster somewhere. Good morning. All right. How can I seek God's goodness in prayer? Make sure you have asked God for petition, James 4:2. Investigate your motives. Make sure your heart and your mind are in the right place. What is your motive behind your prayer? That's James 4:3. Remember that faith is a condition for answered prayer. Mark 11:24. I'm going to read that one to you. So you guys write down, if you're taking notes, James 4:2b, that's the second half of that verse. And also investigate your motives, James 4:3. Make sure your motives are right when you petition God in prayer. Nothing wrong with asking for things in prayer. He wants to know his children. He wants us to ask, even though he already knows, he still wants to hear us. Remember that faith is a condition for answered prayer, rather. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I'm gonna say something, because I want to make sure that I don't get this wrong. Sometimes when we ask for things in Jesus' name, we always have to ask if it's God's will in prayer. I know that there are things that people have prayed for that haven't gotten what they've prayed for. God is not a genie in a bottle. He is the God of God. He's the God of everything. He's the creator, right? And his will is sovereign. And sometimes we can ask. I know that there's some people who ask to win the lottery, okay? And they ask if I would pray for that for them. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we have to make sure that we understand that. And then we are to submit yourself to God's priorities for you, not your own. So your own, do not take over God's priorities. Because God has a priority for each and every one of us. You know, I think Brandon Nutter and his wife, they are doing God's priority over in the Dominican through the coffee house. They're teaching young people and anybody English as a second language using the scripture to teach them English. And they've asked that we join them in prayer to pray for that ministry so that it continues to, they are doing discipleship one at a time through English as a second language, teaching people how to speak English through the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, is that something that we should like rejoice over? And they're petitioning that they do are in the will of God. Your homework. This is how you apply this. I want you to think about this. This week, when you go to the Lord for petition, make sure your heart is right and you're humble. You humble yourself and then ask God in prayer. Then ask God in prayer. I believe everybody here today is a believer. I pray that when you go and you petition yourself before the Lord, that you think about humbling yourself. Today is Communion Sunday. Today is Communion Sunday. And communion, the Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, right? As often as you do this in remembrance of me, make sure your hearts are right. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read this passage, and I will have Brother Gary pray over the elements when he comes up, if that's okay with you, brother. So, 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to start off in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So while this is how it normally works here, Brother Gary and I will be up here and we'll be holding the elements and we'll do single file line. If you're not able to come up and partake in the Lord's Supper, you have to stay seated. We'll bring it to you. There is no pressure in taking the Lord's Supper today. We are not going to condemn you for not taking the Lord's Supper, okay? We want you guys to have a right mind and a right attitude and a right heart. So while you're in line, you can get, you could pray, and you can get yourself right before the Lord before you even reach the front here. Also, we also like to take a benevolent offering on the Lord's Supper day. So we have a little plate here that you can just drop some whatever the Lord tells you if you feel led to do that. Today you can petition yourself before the Lord. If you have some unforgiveness in your life, if you're having a hard time, petition to the Lord humbly that he would ask you as you come and receive the elements. Brother Gary?
I don't want to be familiar.
Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." It's because of God's grace we are saved. Through Jesus dying on the cross, would you think about when you go in prayer before the Lord this week, when you petition to humble yourself and remember that we are going before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to close out the sermon. We got one more song, and Brother Gary's got a couple announcements. I am going to share one right now. We were supposed to have a leadership meeting after church today. I am canceling that. There are some people out, and Miss Becky has to go right away after church to do something. So There will be no leadership meeting today. I will reschedule in a couple weeks. Just be watching for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are the Lord of the Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the judge of all judges. And God, we ask as people heard your word today, they heard scripture. Lord, I hope they didn't hear me, but I hope they heard that you and your word speaking to them, teaching them that we can petition, we can ask for things, but humbly, but boldly at the same time. Jesus said we are to ask in his name. Father God, you are so gracious and merciful. We don't deserve anything. But because we are workmanship created in the image of you, we ask that we can go out and help others learn more about you, help others to come to know you as their, on a personal level, that they can ask for forgiveness of their sins. Father, we know that there are people who are perishing and going to hell. We know that people are going to walk away from you and the word, and they're going to say that faith is futile, that Christianity is silly, that we don't know anything. But Father God, I ask that we at CMA Church would be humble but bold in our prayers. And our petition is that we, this is our petition, is that we continue to be a beacon of hope in this community in Greenville, Ohio, in Dark County, that reaches past Greenville into Ansonia and Bradford and all the surrounding cities, Lord God, and that the people will be in their workplaces being leaders, that they are leaders in their workplace because they have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Help us to walk in boldness, to disciple people, to go and make disciples. Father God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for this group of people. And we want to close out the sermon part of the church service. So Lord God, I just ask that people would think about as we have one more song. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I can feel a world of difference suddenly.